You're listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. We have a bit of a condensed crew today as Liam is off sick, but I am joined today by Jono and Will. Guys, how's it going?
Not bad. Definitely Will, not Liam. It's been an interesting weekend of AFLW football, that's for sure. And I'd love for the Cats to show up in the fourth quarter for once, if that'd be okay with them.
Yeah, I mean, I thought at least they got, you know, three quarters of the way through. There was a little bit of an inspiring comeback for a moment there. But geez, the Blues power.
Which is basically the story of about six out of the eight games we've played, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, it's been a disappointing run. And I also got to say, as a Freo supporter, it's also been a bit of a rough watch again this week, watching my team go down to Jono's Hawks, disappointingly.
I thought that was a pretty great game from my point of view. I don't know how the Hawks keep getting away with it. We're 7-1 and we're not deserving of that at all. It's been a miracle of close games.
Got to be in it to win it. Mm.
Yeah, long may it continue.
I got down to the game at Icon Park on Friday and I saw Liam sitting by himself, snapped a photo, and then he promptly left because I don't think he liked my online bully.
No.
Do you guys get to any games?
Yeah, I did. I was at the same one. And I think he came over to join me at halftime. I think that's where he'd run off to.
Oh, I thought I just made him feel uncomfortable and he left, but that makes more sense.
No, I think he was.
And I was planning on going to the Geelong game, didn't end up going, and that was a wise decision in the end. So I haven't been to a game this weekend.
But I have to say, it was nice sitting on the couch and being able to watch every game consecutively with no overlapping games on the weekend. Mm-hmm. That was a lovely Saturday, Sunday.
Yep, it was great. I definitely had some couch time myself. In terms of our fantasy, that was not so lovely. I didn't have anyone playing in the last game and my score was already not good. So I then got to watch some massive scores from a couple of the West Coast players going, great, I don't have any of these, just watching my rank tumble down. So I get to go first this week with a low score rank of 1326, which means my overall rank has fallen still just in the top 1,000, 987. You were getting real close to me, Will, if you wanted to.
I believe
you could easily lap me next week.
14 points, I think, is the margin at the moment. So it's razor thin.
Yeah, and given your team's looking fantastic, that's definitely happening this week. My good shout, at least, was keeping Harris. I was definitely going to trade her out at one stage. Quite nice to see her smash a 89 score and in person as well. My bad call was my trades, bringing in Steele Park as a downgrade option. I put her on the bench because my team, especially my back line, is pretty crap. So I reckon a few people would have put her on the bench, but I had to cop the, what did she get? A low score.
26 in the
end. I can't remember what it was. 16? No, 26. Yeah, so not a great one. Was solid, though. She did still make money from that. I did notice that 24 out of the top 100 have Steele Park also, but they all have her on the bench, which is probably the better place to have had her last week. And my blind side was Neve McLaughlin with her very low score as well. That meant my back line was just looking not so great.
She didn't do well. She was no Steele Park really, but yeah, Neve McLaughlin, that's a worrying one.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it's just a bad matchup against the Lions. They were a pretty tough team, I'd say, but I hope she really bounces back because she's quite highly owned and she lost 200K. So if you wanted to trade her out, you have to really realize that massive loss from there. So who's up next? Well, it would be Liam, but he's not here conveniently for his 1394, which saw him slip down, and I take no joy in saying this, slip down 10 plus spots?
I think it was the 25 spots to 67th.
Oh, yeah. 25
useless
spots. What a shame.
Horrible.
still doing fantastic, though.
Still
in
a heck
territory
of a season, yeah.
Oh, yes. Will, you up next?
I am up next. I'm feeling pretty chuffed to be in the top half of our ranks this week. A fairly solid score of 1,433, weekly rank of 678, which puts me just outside the top 1,000, 1,028. As I said, only a handful of points behind Mel, so I am quickly gaining ground. Unfortunately, didn't quite rise the 400 that I'd predicted last week to go up, but still got 200, so I'm still on track to make that top 100 with my continual improvement, which I'm sure will definitely happen. My good call was bringing in Maeve Chaplin. I think a lot of coaches would have been very happy with Maeve Chaplin. Has posted another 100, which are a bit of a rarity for defenders this year, despite there's been some solid scoring. So 111 from Maeve Chaplin was a really nice first game in. My bad call was less a bad call than an unfortunate call, which is why it's also my blind side, which was to get Chaplin, I needed to do a less cash-bound forward upgrade. And we talked her up big games last week, which was Piper Window. And Piper Window came in and was a DNP, a late out. So that was my blind side. I had to field Lauren Young again, who, to be fair, put up a fairly decent 49 once again. But it meant that I probably left 20, 30 points on the table this week that could have got me up ahead of Mal.
Yeah, could have been that 400 rank jump you were looking for.
Exactly.
Yeah, that was a pretty brutal late out. That, you know, from something that happened, I think they were calling her out on Thursday that she wasn't going to play because that's when she put up sore. And yet we don't find out till Saturday. It's just brutal for coaches.
Yeah, that sounds like classic AFLW reporting, but not very helpful. And then there was also the late out of someone from Collingwood.
Yeah, Ruby Slysher, a late out just before the game.
Ruby Slysher. Yeah.
Pretty notable one too.
Another stitch up. Yeah. I mean,
I mean, the skipper's
tough week.
Arguably the most important player, so yes, indeed.
Mm. And then in Rod We Trust, you don't really have to scroll down too far if you start with the overall rankings on the rankings tab to get to your name, which is pretty exciting.
It is handy when I'm checking, trying to find coaches above me these days. The 1,500 plus scoring streak alive this week with a 1,510, so just snuck over that line. But a weekly rank of 59 has me jumped up to 27th spot now. Jumped an extra 17 on last week. Highest rank of the season that I've had. So it's pretty exciting. It's the first time this season I've actually thought that I would stay top 100. Before that, I just thought it was going to fall apart.
Question for you, Jono. Wasn't there something in last week's episode about a two-point gap or something like that?
Yeah, I think that two-point gap has been reversed and then times by,
magnified,
I don't know, 57,
by
I think is the
30?
Yeah. Yeah.
A fair bit. Yeah. So, yes.
And look, if he tries to pip me again, I'll have him off the podcast again. He should watch himself. No, I'd joke. But yeah, I think I got my trades right again this week, which was very nice. I brought in Maeve Chaplin, like Will did, but also Taylor Smith, my risky pick from last week, ended up paying off with a 72. So I was pretty chuffed with that. And I think she went up 100K as a result as well. My bad call was the Niamh McLaughlin hold. You know, I was tossing up between her and Shelley Heath on the Friday, and I think I went the wrong way on that one, unfortunately. And I have to say, my blind side was Richmond beating Adelaide. I mean, 18th spot on the ladder coming out with a win. It's kind of crazy. I'm really hoping it doesn't happen again this week because 18th is Gold Coast and they're playing the Hawks. I'm a little bit nervous.
So I am, for one, am very keen for it. But yeah, it's actually the fifth time this season that the bottom of the ladder has triumphed out of 8 games. That's pretty impressive.
Mm. Crazy stat.
There you go. Yeah, okay. So that's like, did you say fifth consecutive score over 1,500?
I did.
That's crazy.
It's been a good year, yeah. The ceiling scores haven't been as high as Liam, but I'm putting up some consistency, which I appreciate.
Imagine not scoring 1,400 this week, AJ.
I couldn't. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Well, let's move on to some more people that have definitely scored more than 1,400 with the watch and wait scoreboard. And hosting privileges means I can change the rules. So we're once again changing them to be Will. please. back like the good old days.
Yeah, it's a bit disappointing because Mel can take away the hosting privileges and it would normally fall to Liam, who, again, is conveniently not here. Liam is actually legitimately sick, but we're definitely going to play that one for as much as we possibly can because why wouldn't we?
Why wouldn't you?
Watch and wait scoreboard. So Rosie's Ruiners, Nick R, is still up the top with a 27-point lead, 12,156 points. A very, very impressive season so far. 1,493, so not quite that 1,500 mark. No five consecutive 1,500s. That's a bit disappointing, let's be honest. But no, well done to Nick R for just basically holding that spot for, it's been about 3 weeks or something now, which is very impressive. The top weekly score, though, Noffy, we have a problem. Noffy, we don't have a problem, Caleb, because Caleb, you've scored 1576. That is absolutely bananas. Wow. And they're in the free kick lead and moved up to fourth overall. So very well done to Caleb C. In terms of that top 100 overall rank, Jono, do you have anything to say there?
Oh, I was just going to say, when I saw that score, I've gone, wow, he's done amazingly well. And then I looked and I saw he still had McLaughlin. So he's done that with a 24 on field, which is just crazy.
Wow.
Yeah. Huge effort.
Very nice. And Jono isn't actually going to plan on helping me with the watch and wait. Just wanted to drop in a note. So to keep on pace with your top 100 overall ranking, you needed a round score of 1440 this week. Sadly, 7 points ahead of where I got. So unfortunately, I'm not in the top 100 yet. But this is down from a massive 1483 last round, being a very high-scoring round. So your total points for 100th is 11,742. So hopefully you are there or thereabouts. And in terms of our free kick league update, Vague Prop W, Kevin G, continues to lead the league and is also now back to second overall, thanks to a massive score of 1547. And that do be that.
And 56 coaches are in the top 100.
I did not see that on the next page. So there you go. That's an important bit as well. You know who decided to help me out there? Mel, not Jono. So well done, Mel.
I thought I'd contribute a little bit. You know.
Yeah, you should have been doing the segment anyway.
Thank you, Will, for that one. So over to our hot topics. This was quite exciting. Jono mentioned that, you know, the hot topic number one, he has a monologue ready, and I was expecting a chart of Jono's ranks over time compared against seasons and how this is the highest that he's ever scored in fantasy and how his increments are changing. And I was like, okay, well, what are we actually getting here? But Jono's going to talk us through an ownership strategy, which I think is much more exciting. Very keen to hear this one as someone that is looking to rise up and slash stay within the top 1,000, which I'm sure a lot of people are as well. And then we'll go through week 9 targets and the rookie crisis. All very relatable topics. Jono, kick us off with the ownership strategy.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I didn't know you'd be open to me doing that little run through of my ranks over time. I'll get the PowerPoint ready for later this week.
Next week.
But yeah, no, this is a topic that we were considering doing last week, but I think it warranted its own discussion because it is basically what we have to do for the next, you know, remaining part of the season. So 4 weeks to go, 4 chances to improve our ranks. And it's this type of year that we're sort of looking to take a few more risks. And part of the problem is that the top players that we're looking to bring in, usually at this point of the year, they're pretty highly owned amongst the top coaches. And it can be pretty hard to make up ground if you're just targeting people above you that have the same players. So I think if you look at mine and Will's teams, I think it's a very helpful example because at the moment, we're, 1,001 ranks apart. And yet, if you actually look at our teams, because we've been targeting the same players over time, we only actually have 5 unique players on the field. So in our head-to-head matchup this week, it was really just decided by a very small group of players. So if Will wants to try and catch me over the next 4 weeks, he can't rely on someone like Ebony Marinoff to do it because, you know, if she goes well, both of our teams get better. He needs basically those 5 players alone to be outscoring my 5 players that he doesn't have. And that's a really small sample size. So he's going to be catching up maybe 20 points per player in a good week. That's just not, it's not going to be enough. So I think the idea is at this point of the season, if you're, you know, a little bit lower ranked than you want to be, you're aiming for the top 100, for the top 1,000, whatever it may be, I think the idea is to go through some of these highly owned players in those brackets and to figure out which ones you're happy to take on, by which I mean, you know, trade out of if you have them, or avoid trading them in and trade in other players. Or, you know, on the other side, which are the players that are highly owned that we think we need to match? So, you know, either keep in our teams or trade into. So to give a couple examples on that, someone like Ebony Marinoff, she's owned by 96 of the top 100.
Well done to the four who don't have her, just quietly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, crazy.
To me, she's one of the players you want to match because she's the best in the business consistently. If you don't have her, you know, you could be losing out on 20, 30 points with whoever you have by comparison. So you want to match that. But on the other side, someone like Sarah Goodwin is pretty highly owned as a defender. She's got 79 of the top 100 coaches have her in their side. But, you know, let's say that next week Chelsea Randall comes back into the team and Hatchard, as a result, moves into the midfield. Sarah Goodwin moves a little bit more to the outside. Maybe she starts scoring poorly. And that could be the sort of player that you go, oh, I can not have them in my team. And if they score poorly and I have Maeve Chaplin instead, then you're going to be a huge, huge improver across the board. So the idea is to figure out how many of these differential players you have and to make sure that you're okay taking on the right players. So I thought on that basis, we could probably go through each line and just try and figure out which are the players that we most want to match up with and who we think are the best options to take on. That makes sense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I really liked this way of thinking, because for someone like me, say, you know, you just mentioned Sarah Goodwin and we're starting with defenders. My backline needs some work, right? And there's a lot of key players in the top defending roles at the moment. We've got Sarah Goodwin. We've also got, you know, what's her name? Serene Watson, Maeve Chaplin, Tilly Lucas-Rodd. These are some like big ticket items of players I don't have. And how many of them do I need to have because everyone has them and I must match them? Versus I could like maybe skip and take that gamble and take them on in a matchup. And so I really like this idea of being more strategic with who you're going to trade into if you've only got one, if you can only really be doing one upgrade. Because I know there's a lot of like you and Liam, et cetera, in the top 100, and it's more about differentiating with those few people above you. But for the masses, when we're only maybe doing one upgrade and we're still completing our teams, very important to make sure we're picking up the right person.
Yeah. I will just say quickly that all of these stats that we're about to use here are from the Stats by Jaden website. And if you're looking for any of these top ranks ownerships, that's where you need to be going.
Yeah, absolutely. So you mentioned that Sarah Goodwin is a potential take on. This is one that I actually thought was quite interesting because her ownership is so high. It's like 79 of the top 100 have her. Until we get news that her role is changing, do you think she's, like, to me it almost felt like someone that I have to have.
Yeah. No, I can see that. I think until that role changes, absolutely, they're scoring so, so well, and I think it'd be a person you want to chase. But the second that Chelsea Randall comes in, I think I'd be okay with it. That'd probably be my logic there. Will?
So obviously a big thing to potentially look at is what players to buy, because if you're not matching, you want someone who's going to be unique that can score. And a player I do want to throw at you, who played a first game this week, scored a very solid score of, I believe it was 74. Matty Gay. Zero people in the top 100. Four people in the top 1,000. Possibly going to be much more increased in ownership this week, but could this be a good time to get across to Matty Gay early? As a player that preseason prior to that injury, we were strongly considering as a top one or two defender.
Well, it's about to be at least five in the top 1,000 because she's in my trade-in plans for that reason. She offers potentially a little bit of uniqueness just for the people that might not be upgrading in their backline this week. But her price point and her average are a fantastic combination. So I think that she And she was who we had ranked above TLR even preseason. So obviously not quite there yet, but currently fourth highest averaging defender. So
from one game, to be fair. But
pardon?
From one game, to be fair.
Yeah, I definitely think Maddie Gay is a take on. The other ones that Jono have got here has got here on take on, I think is really interesting as well. McLaughlin and Conan, two players very highly owned, I think 74 and 52 respectively in the top 100, but have both had some lower scores. Conan probably a little bit more regularly, McLaughlin this last week in particular. I can see, yeah. I mean, if you don't want to cop a 200K loss, swapping McLaughlin for someone else to add a bit of differentiation, maybe a Maddie Gay feels like a pretty good trade.
Yeah, so I just want to make sure that we're using the language here correctly. By take on, I mean make sure that you don't have them in your side so that anyone else who does have them, you're beating. So I think McLaughlin there is for sure someone who, I mean, this week we saw was basically pushed out of not just the midfield but from her defensive role, and they've put her in the forward line, and it was not good. You know, and I can see Gold Coast know where they're at. And I think it's interesting that this happened against Brisbane, where they've gone, if we're unlikely to win this match, it's probably a good time to experiment a little bit. And we can put our best foot forward when we're up against some of the easier matchups this year and get the win there. And I think against Hawthorn this week, there could be a similar logic where they're just like, let's try and experiment with our team, see what our players are capable of, what different combinations work and don't work. And then next year or the year after, when we're a little bit more experienced, that's when they take off. So I can see this McLaughlin experiment continuing. And I am happy to not have her in my side, as 74 of the top 100 coaches currently do.
So early indicators, how many top 100 coaches do you reckon will have McLaughlin as of next round?
The drop-off can be quick because... I think I was looking at Shelley Heath last week, something like 60 of the top coaches had her in the side. And if you look at Heath now, it's dropped to 24. So we're all trying to make the same song and dance happen at the same time, but still 24 coaches that you're getting the jump on there.
If you were to choose trading out of McLaughlin or Conan, McLaughlin has just had a big price drop but is more highly owned. Does that make her higher or lower on the trade-out list for you, Jono?
I think I would probably trade out of McLaughlin first. I think the high ownership is a factor for trading her out. I think the big price drop, she's still more expensive than Conan and has a higher break-even and will probably drop even more cash this week if her and Conan scored the same score. So I think on that basis... almost every factor is against McLaughlin.
Yeah. What are you thinking, Will? Do you have any defenders to add?
No, I think for what we've talked about, we've covered a lot. Because I'm quite interested now to hear about those midfielders, because we've talked a lot about the big five, which makes it kind of hard to take on a lot of the midfields, Jono. What's your take on that?
Yeah, so... my thoughts are there's two midfielders, Noffey and Riddell, who are owned by at least 96 of the top 100. And to me, their consistent ceiling scores are must-haves in your team. I think if you don't have them, this isn't the player that you trade out and take on. Because, I mean, Noffey hasn't gone under 100. Riddell has had, what is it, five games of 40 disposals or more this year? It's actually getting insane. I don't know how she keeps doing it. But on the other hand... Garner, Bowers and Gardner, I think, are really interesting discussions because they seem to have incredible ceilings. You know, no one's scoring the 160s, 170s that these three are. But they also seem to have these occasional games of going, you know, 70, 90, something like that. And so I think across the next 4 weeks, these three are going to be the highest, amongst the top five highest scoring mids. I still think they're in that category. But I think on a week-to-week basis, you can justify trading them in or out depending on how you think they're going to go on that matchup.
That's a risky game to play, though.
It's a very risky game to play.
Yeah.
I would be looking at someone like Ella Roberts this week, who we'll talk about a little bit later, is someone who I think could at least match the scoring of these three this week. And if that happens and you've made that trade, you've making 300K, I think it's a worthwhile risk depending on where your team is at, cash generation-wise.
Ella Roberts drops down significantly on the ownership, down to 88 out of the top 1,000 and 6 of the top 100. So that is definitely fits well into this. I think I was about to be gobsmacked a minute ago. I just saw that like 21 of the top 1,000 have Noffy on the bench. I was like, what are they doing? But that must be like a VC loophole type situation, I'm sure. I was like, that's crazy. Yeah, I hadn't really considered, like, I have these five midfielders and I was like, great, that's my midfield sorted. I hadn't really considered not having one of them or some of them. I literally was like glancing straight over my midfield to the forwards when I was looking at where I have cash and how I can use it. But it is an interesting time to be considering using your midfield to differentiate. It's a unique kind of position I feel like a lot of us are in, where the midfield has been completed for multiple weeks in a row now, which has been great for points, but now the differentiation piece comes. You did allude that you were going to talk more about Ella Roberts later, so maybe we'll save that one a little bit later and move over to the Rucks, which is really just a Lucy Wales situation that we got going here, I feel.
Definitely want Lucy Wales if you're in the top 100, eh, Jono?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. God, it continues to hurt me that I've traded her out. But, yeah, I mean, look, at the moment it does seem like most coaches are either going to have Mim Strom or Matilda Schultz. Both are excellent rucks. I think they're, what, second and third for scoring this year. But the unique play seems to be having Lucy Wales, only 12 of the top 100.
Strange as the unique play is having the best player.
Yeah. Well, I feel like aside from Mel, not many people have made that many trades in their rucks this year.
They've just picked a Schultz to start off with and kept it.
Yeah.
By the looks of it.
So it's, I suppose it's one of those things, until they have a reason to trade them out, they're all kind of going swimmingly. But if this is, you know, if you're looking for a way to differentiate your team, what Lucy Wales is doing right now is incredible and is, you know, 20 points better than the next best ruck, at least.
Yeah, it's very Mim Strom-esque. And then the forward line is an interesting one because, like you've put here, who are the forwards that we would be willing to take on? There's only really, who to match. Like, there's only really Goldsworthy. And because she is so highly owned, I think the forwards are a little bit of a mixed bag in terms of there's a few good options out there. You don't necessarily have to have anyone else. Is there anyone else, Will, that you think you must have in your forward line?
I don't think so. I think there's players who have consistently scored well, like Montana Ham, Chloe Malloy, Ash Woodland, but I don't think they're like, you have to have them. I think there's a lot of players of that ilk that you could probably have a similar enough player score similar enough, you know? So with the exception of Goldsworthy, who seems to be just a class above in terms of the forwards, like hasn't scored below 70 all year, this is a really great line if you want to differentiate yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
One that I would add is Chloe Malloy is in 36 of the top 100 teams, and she's also in my team. And boy, has it been a bit of a roller coaster, because she had a 59, yet 84 last week was delightful, and then a 48 this week. Jono was mentioning trading her in. I was already considering maybe trading her out because I'm frustrated with the 48, but that is very short-minded in my thinking. But she's a very up-and-down player. I think if you don't have her, you can take her on, because you're either going to, like, her variance is very high game to game and you can't really tell which one it's going to be. Are you putting her as a match, Jono?
I don't think I am. I think she's just one of the many options. I think Goldsworthy is the only player in the forward line that you have to really, otherwise you're falling behind, right? She's averaging over 100 in her last three, 94 for the season. It's kind of incredible. But beyond that, you know, who knows what's going to happen over the last four? I mean, I was thinking back to last season and players that had kind of been really slow to start the season, like Georgia Stathis or Serene Watson, ended up having these huge finishes to the year, and those were the players you needed to have if you wanted to make these last minute jumps. And I'm honestly looking down the forward line list and just trying to see who might have started a bit slower, who's come out and just been excellent over the last few. So I think that's kind of where we jump into these, you know, week nine trade targets. It's going to be interesting trying to look at who we want to bring in, knowing that they're either lowly owned or something like that, to see who might make this jump.
Yeah, so in terms of who we would be considering bringing in on the defender's side, I would absolutely love to own Maeve Chaplin. That 111 is a delightful score, and she's going up against Fremantle. Wouldn't that be nice? Ellinger is another interesting one, and you have mentioned being keen on Jade Ellinger a few weeks ago, Jono.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the Lions generally, now that they've got their easier run to end the year. But the last two just kind of show the variance of that, where she had a 94 against the Gold Coast, was absolutely incredible, involved in everything. But the week before against the Tigers was a 36. She was, you know, basically non-existent on that park. You didn't see her at all. And I think it's hard to try and explain the variance of it. I know Gold Coast allow a lot of marks and, you know, Ellinger could provide a lot of run. But I guess the week before, you know, I don't think that Brisbane are switching it as much as they once did. So that reliable marking that they had may not be there anymore.
Hmm. Another one that we've got here is TLR, who I was considering bringing in this week, except that they go up against Gold Coast. And I'm not too sure how much the ball is actually going to be in the Hawks' back line at all. I mean, I know TLR is a good enough player to make touches happen even when they're flogging aside, but I'm not confident in that one for this week.
I guess the question is, do you think that TLR is more of an Ellinger or more of a Bree Conan? Because that's the two sides of the coin here.
Yeah.
I've always thought they played a little bit more like an Ellinger, where they're providing that distribution. Whilst I feel like Conan is sort of the defensive wall on her own. She's the Harriet Cordner type.
Yeah.
A different team example.
That's a good call. I don't know. It just doesn't feel like the right week to match. I mean, I've put it off for 9 weeks. Why not put it off one more? What about you, Will? Who are you thinking about in the back line?
My back line I'm all right with because I brought in Maeve Chaplin last week. So I've sort of already mentioned Maddie Gay is the one for me that if you are looking for someone is a really good one to bring in. Very unique by just having one game back from injury. 74, barely missed a beat. So I think still a fair price, just over $1 million, but with the way most teams are going, that's a very achievable player to get in.
Yeah. I also think if you look at their like quarter by quarter, they got better as the game went on, as they kind of got used to the pace, because Melbourne are a very fast team. So I think, she kind of grew into the game, and I can imagine she's only going to be better next week.
Yes. One other player I was thinking of was Emma Carney, all reliable. With North playing Richmond this week, Emma Carney doesn't really line up necessarily on the break even, given her average is 66 and her break even is 65. But she has shown that she's a reliable player that you can just put in your side and lock down on. And I believe her ownership is not too bad right now. 8 in the top 100, so also somewhat lowly owned. I don't know if she's going to necessarily get a pop score here, but her price is pretty decent given she's lost a little bit of money. I think she's at 674. Yeah, she's lost like 100K. So I think she could be a good option to ride home the season as a target.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I like it. I think pretty amazing player. And it was really just that score of 30 that I think kind of did two things. Firstly, it dropped her a bunch of cash. But also I imagine that players in the top 100 either dropped out of the top 100 on it or traded her out as a result of it. So I think it's a pretty unique play, and I like the call.
Over to the midfielders. Really exciting to see three names here as like trade-in targets that we haven't really spoken about in the last few weeks, because I feel like we've been quite locked on our top five plus like a sprinkling of Prasparkas and Nanscorn. But we've got Ella Roberts, Mon Conti and Charlie Rowbottom back as a trade-in target or potential. Out of these three, who would you be picking and why, Will?
Ella Roberts by a country mile. If you don't mind me saying, Jono, do you want me to bring out the stat?
No, we're talking about? Do the thing. This is where I thought we'd be talking it.
Basically, the reason for Ella Roberts this week is the matchup against Adelaide. Now, Adelaide, we've historically thought of as a pretty difficult matchup, but what has got me interested here is the last three games that Adelaide have played, they have let the star midfielder from the opposition score 145 plus. This week, Moncon, who we'll talk about shortly, scored 156. Laura Gardner scored a massive 173, and Charlie Rowbottom 147. Ella Roberts is that sort of player. If any player is going to do it this week, it is Ella Roberts. I think Moncon, super player, super effort this week. That North Melbourne matchup is not one I love. And Charlie Rowbottom only scored 100 this week. Yes, she's playing the Hawks, but apart from that 147, we haven't really seen enough from me to really back in Charlie Rowbottom yet.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I mean, I'd probably be happy trading in any of these players if I wasn't going with one of the big five, but yeah, Ella Roberts, absolute superstar. Her second quarter in particular against the Pies was actually unbelievable. She couldn't be stopped.
Yeah, I think she's the pick, particularly against Adelaide. And we've got a handful of players like a Bowers, like a Gardner, like a Garner that you kind of mentioned before, that would be a nice step down to pick up someone like Roberts. However, I will probably be nullifying our idea that she's nice, lowly owned by the end of this episode, or at least by the time the round starts. Over on the rucks, I mean, we've just got Wales. Wales against Gold Coast.
Steph Wales, great pick. Wonderful ruck to have. I definitely.
Are you ever going to do a Wales swap?
Well, I would love to.
You're locking in.
I would love to. Getting the money to do that is not an easy thing. So it may be something to investigate next week, but I don't know how likely it is.
In the interest of finding another unique option, because really it's Lucy Wales or you've probably already got one of the better rucks. But for those that don't, has anyone been following Lauren Wackfer over the last few weeks?
I have.
How indeed. Good does she look? Yeah, incredible.
And playing sort of absolutely everywhere as well, which is impressive. Taking marks, clunking them up forward, kicking goals.
Mm.
It's quite an interesting one, actually, Lauren Wackfer.
Yeah.
Being a highly rated player for a long time who hasn't quite been able to hit her straps yet. So we might be seeing a player who could be a bit of a breakout candidate, if not in the latter half of this year, maybe a next year option.
Yeah. Started having a bit of ruck time as well, kind of getting like 50% time in there, sharing that with Sarah Lakai. And I'm sure that West Coast will change their rucks again soon and we'll see Liz McGrath back into the rotation or something like that. But, you know, just that extra 10 to 15 bump on the points. I mean, her lowest score in the last three is a 75 and she's only at 882K. It'd definitely be a unique option and not one that I would say is for the faint of heart.
Sold.
Yeah, West Coast also have the best run for rucks to end the year. After Adelaide, they play Geelong. So you can't get much better than that.
Yeah, that's pretty
I'm
solid.
I'm actually genuinely questioning doing that now.
I think you should break even at 45. I mean, you're probably not going to be trading her out, but there you go. She is quite overpriced.
You say over. I say if she keeps doing what she's done the last
she's
three,
underpriced.
It could be underpriced.
Yeah. I like it. There's Will's trade, as always, locking him in during the podcast.
It would stop me getting Garner, but that'd be an interesting one for sure.
I mean, yeah. Ella Roberts is right there.
Ella Roberts cheaper. Literally costs 1K less. I'm not saving enough money there.
A little bit
to
cheaper.
To do that.
Oh, don't spend it all at once. On the forwards, this is very interesting because the five players you've got here are not anyone that I own, nor was I looking towards them, but nor do I have the cash or space to. Or which of these players do you currently own, Jono, between Hodder, Toogood, Barnett, Stone and McDonough?
I own absolutely none of them.
Me neither.
I wish that I owned almost all of them.
Wouldn't that be a nice forward
line? The only one that I have owned is Laura Stone, and I traded her out this week. So, good stuff.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, if we could run through them. Courtney Hodder, I think her form speaks for herself.
Electric.
And even though she lost a little bit of midfield time this week, unbelievable effort against the Gold Coast. Four goals, looked brilliant the whole time. And I think aside from Goldsworthy, she's 20 points better than the next forward over the last month per game. Mm. So I think if you've got the money, she's still fairly unique amongst the top coaches because no one can afford her. So
yeah. Yeah, she's gone up. My God. 373K and 117 just last week. Yeah. I mean, if you had her while she was cheap, you're laughing, but... Toogood is an interesting one because I reckon her ownership would have gone down a bit going into that North game, which it probably didn't need to. And now she's got Bulldogs coming off her 87. That's looking pretty attractive.
I think we talk about matchups a lot, and Toogood is one of the players where I just really don't think it matters at all. If she can do that against North, she can do it against Melbourne.
Mm.
Sometimes players are just too good. That's all you can do.
That has been an undermade joke this season, I reckon, on account of us being a little bit nervous about Toogood scoring potential over the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think Imogen Barnett is probably the one that I'm most excited about.
Yeah.
If it wasn't for that 30, I think their run looks great. Their scoring has been really consistent all year. And they're at a much cheaper price than they once were. They are a little bit, you know, highly owned. I think 34 of the top coaches still have them on field. But, I mean, that's 70 coaches that don't in the top 100. So I think that's one that I'm looking at pretty closely. Are you guys looking at anyone in the forward line in particular?
I am, indeed. I am looking at a podcast favourite, Charlie Mullins.
Ooh. Oh, we're going cheap now.
We are going cheap. Charlie Mullins' price has absolutely plummeted to 550K, so just a like tiny jump up from some of your probably bench rookies at this stage. And for a player who in previous seasons has averaged 60 plus, that's a bargain. And still could potentially lose a little bit of money this week as well, given still has the concussion 17 in her price cycle, but came back against the Suns, looked like she'd barely missed a trick, scored a 78. And so I'm looking at that going, that's 40K to get from Shanae Davison to a player who I think can quite easily score an average of around 60 from this point on. That's an easy 200K, and I like those odds.
Yeah. It's pretty tempting.
Yeah, it is tempting. I had her on one of my earlier trade plans as well, and I was like, ooh. Mullins is ticking all the right boxes, except the risk is a little bit high. But ooh. I guess that's what you have to do when you're hovering around 1,000th and 550K mid-price madness players are the flavour.
Well, hold on. Whilst Liam's not here, should we just list off as many risky options as we can? I feel like this is the time to bring that energy.
Well, I mean, rookie crisis is our next section, and this is the fact that we have terrible benches, no obvious targets, and what do we do? And this is all where, about
the risk.
This is where we start just shuffling risk around each week.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot of great options, are there? And so we were talking about before, I think there's the two options. You can either sort of trade down a premium. So that's what we were talking before. A Kiara Bauer is down to an Ella Roberts. It'll bank you about 250K. And if you can, you know, if you get them the right trade-ins of the people coming up who are going to match the scoring of some of our more expensive players, it's a great way to make money. Obviously, there's a risk, though, that you trade down. Suddenly, you've lost the cash and you don't have anyone able to perform that M5 position anymore. So I think that's the sort of trade that I've been looking at this week. And I'm probably doing something like McLaughlin down to an Emekani on the similar basis, where I'm going a little bit cheaper, a little bit riskier. But at the same time, I don't think I'm trading out of the wrong player. Is there any sort of trades on that front that you two are considering?
Well, you've just made me consider trading Steph Wales to Lauren Wackford for 100K. I've actually just put that into my trades. So,
I love
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I think the only other one, and I've obviously already mentioned, but Charlie Mullins, if you are looking to take on one of those highly owned forwards who may not be as desirable due to matchups or whatever, that's an easy way to make yourself 300K for a player who could score a 60 when your top price premium might score only a 65. That would be my only other one I'd be thinking.
Yeah, yeah. No, fair enough. I'd also, I really appreciate that a bunch of people came on the Taylor Smith train, but I think Taylor Smith down to another rookie or across to another Charlie forward Mullins. Is probably the option.
Charlie Mullins.
Charlie Mullins, I like that. I also, I want to give a shout out to Megan Kaufman, Greta Bodie, and Mackenzie Eardley, should she come back, because those are players that I've been watching and waiting, and I like the Hawks forward matchups for the next couple of rounds, so some interesting thoughts.
Definitely there. Good players if you want to fill in your team.
Yes. I don't know. I haven't really... I've been mucking around with my bench pretty much every week, and I've got naught to show for it.
Still on the rocks?
Look, I mean, Jono has put here Flo Davies is a good option at 363K, and I'm like, oh, do I want to do another ruck trade? Oh, it's Davis, isn't it? Not Davies.
What about Katie Tipping against GWS?
Oh, lock it in. How'd she go last week? Pretty ever. I saw her on neg 3 to start off with. Oh, 10.
10 points, so still bottom priced.
Solid.
If I could say, I think she actually touched it way more than her score suggests. It's just that she kept tapping it when it was like around the ground. If she'd just taken the ball and given the handball. What she could have scored.
And I think the dual ruck situation of Dunlop and Tipping is an interesting situation. I wouldn't be surprised if Dunlop gets a rest at some stage, which might give Tipping a 40-plus score that could get some cash generation going. But at this stage, that's about as good as we can expect for a lot of these rookies.
Yeah, I had done my cheapo rookie trade in, well, another one of them, I think last week with Lily Tarlington, who had put up a couple of good scores or average scores for Adelaide, but then she proceeded to get a 16 and lose all her cash. So I have not done too much research on nice low-priced players ahead of this round.
Yeah. I had a couple options here just on the basis that I imagine a lot of people who don't have a lot of cash on their bench are probably happy to trade out of Steel Park, given she's already gone up 120-odd K. And I think the best of the bunch there is probably Charlotte Wilson, who had that, you know, 0.3% time on ground. It happened early in the first quarter concussion score. That drops out of her price cycle this week, so she should go from 302, like even with a 40. I think she jumps up pretty massively this week, probably 80K. So that to me is an easy one. I also have a feeling that Kaylee Kimber is just a really good player. And I just, at 385K, I think she went a 70-something earlier this season. So I think, you know, that's one there that I think you could get lucky on. And then they, you know, could put on 50K this week pretty comfortably.
Yeah, I know quite a few people traded into Kimber a few weeks ago, maybe 4 or 5 weeks ago before I went away, because she had all the right signs popping out. So good to see that she's finally putting up some of those decent scores. But, yeah, that does make her an interesting defender option. Couple of good ones there under 400K. Where's your bench at, Jono? Where are you in terms of bench strategy?
My bench is doing all right, so don't hate me for this. I'll be trading out of Steel Park in defense down to Wilson. Otherwise, I've got Vickers at 486K, Young at 430. Keely Hardingham is usually my red dot ruck, but I think has the first game this week, so that won't really help me. And then I've got Lou Field currently sitting in my utility at 319. So, not too bad.
Yeah. Not too bad. Pretty good. Okay, well, in terms of other things to do with the bench, Will, do you have any new ideas to add, or shall we move on?
It's a tough line this week, and you've got to really just hope that someone has a pop score, I think.
I just want to give one shout out to the guy that came top of the round this week, Caleb, because not only does he have an incredible bench, he actually has a 17th premium at the moment. And it's not like it's a forward worth 500, 600K. He has Tyler Hanks sitting on his bench.
What?
I know, right? I saw it. It was a double take. I'm like, that is just incredible. He's he's got the four premiums, and then he's got Conti and Hanks, and I think he's been running the two next to each other, just seeing how they go. But when I saw that, I went, wow, that's a position that's going to be hard to chase down.
I really hope he put Conti on field last week.
He did.
Yeah. That'll do it. Damn, what a position to be in. How good. Yeah. Well, speaking of pop scores and making the most of them, Liam is absent for his captain's corner, so Jono's had a quick whip through. Very surprising top three here.
Yeah, it's hard to go past Ebony Marinoff at number one, coming up against the Eagles. She hasn't gone under 100 all year, and I think only one under 110. So I don't think you get a safer captain score than Marinoff.
Yep, set and forget.
Second and third, I've got Ash Riddell and Jazz Garner. I think I prefer Riddell here just because I know Garner's pretty reliant on goals. And apparently Richmond are good. I don't quite understand. But yeah, it's going to be an interesting matchup. I'm keen to watch this to see how they go. At some point, someone's got to knock off North Melbourne, and it would be hilarious if it was Richmond after, you know, back-to-back wins against Adelaide and North. That would be incredible. So I think that's my top three. Ebony Marinoff plays on early on the Saturday, so probably an easy VC option if you've got a loop. Beyond that, number four, Ella Roberts in the same game for the reasons, as Will went through, that premium superstar seemed to go really, really well against the Crows. And then at number five is Lucy Wales playing the Gold Coast. I think there's going to be a combination ruck there of what, Harris, Darcy Davis, and who's the other one? Taylor Gregory, assuming Lauren Bella doesn't come in. And I think Lucy Wales is going to be incredible against all three of them. So, yeah, I think that's the top
five. And what if Lauren Bella does come in?
I don't think we worry about it. Lucy Wales is incredible. And if she can do it against Mimstrom, she can do it against anyone.
I think that's the right answer as well.
Yeah.
Just wanted to test your loyalty there.
I mean, she's doing this with two backup rucks in the side, and she still had 100% CBA ruck time. She's incredible. Wow. She can't be stopped. Yeah.
Love it. And wow, every time we talk about Lucy Wales, I just remember how she was not on my top five at the start of the season. It's like, I want to be happy for how well she's doing and not sad at the fact that I just dismissed her immediately. Oh, gosh. Well, talking about trades this week, I might have already mentioned I need to fix my back line in case you haven't heard that one before. problem being, not really having a lot of cash to play around with. Currently, I set on Gay as my upgrade from, I've got so many options. I think Steel Park's got to get off my field for sure. Does she go to Gay and I chop and change some other money around here and there? Not too sure yet. But yeah, I've also got McLaughlin and Conan. So it's around how do I differentiate and upgrade at the same time. What about you, Will?
Well, my number one trade priority and my point of weakness was getting my last rookie off the field. And to do that, I would be upgrading Shanae Davidson to a player loftily 40K higher in Charlie Mullins. I'm hoping Charlie Mullins can be a surprise, very, very underpriced premium for me, but if not, a very good stepping stone to a proper premium down the track. And the other thing I was very keen to do was get Jazz Garner in the trough. But at the moment, I'm liking the whack for play, to be completely honest.
Questioning.
I'm not too fussed if I were to keep Ali Anderson for another week against Port Adelaide. I do worry that Garner could be in for a monster score against Richmond, but at the same time, I think... I like the whack for play. It could be the thing that unlocks my ruck division, in honesty.
And, I mean, Anderson is nice and unique, only three in the top 100. I mean, you don't need to trade into a unique player. You've already got one.
That is also true.
I think it's a pretty good call. I think Liam's top trade is he has highly recommended, just personally, he didn't want to tell anyone this yet, but he's highly recommended trading out Noffy and Garner because he thinks they're both trash. And and instead he's going to pick up who did he say he was going to pick up?
He was going to use his utility to get Tam Smith.
I was about to say Tam Smith. Yes, love it. I'm glad that we've all heard the same news, and I'm sure Liam will be posting about that on his Twitter later. He just wanted to make sure he could get his trade in before it was too well known. And then, Jono, what are you planning?
And people say we're too sarcastic on this podcast. So I think my priority is getting McLaughlin out. So I think I'm going to take her down to Emma Carney and use the cash from there to go Taylor Smith up to Chloe Malloy, I think is my target at the moment. Now that she's passed that North Melbourne matchup, I do like what she can deliver. So I think in games where she's kicked a goal, she's gone over 60 every time.
Mm.
So I'm going to back her in, I think, at her price point.
I'm really glad.
And then it leaves me with one trade and no money to do anything.
Nice.
So I don't really know what to do there. At the moment, I'm just doing a rookie downgrade on the bench so I have money for next week. But there's a small part of me that wants to move, you know, someone like an Ash Woodland or an Ash Maloney across to an Imogen Barnett.
Mm-hmm.
There's a part of me that wants to move Bree Conan to someone, though I don't have the money to really go anywhere. I don't know. We'll see where that last trade lands by Friday.
Have you considered Strom to Wakefa?
I hadn't until this moment. I'm going to have to look at it closely.
Hey, it's given me $166,000 to play with next week. Wow. So I'm pretty happy
next
with
week.
It.
You're not doing something yes. with it this week?
Well, in order to afford some of the other things, I could do something with it if I get that basically by trading out Dunlop to Tipping. So I either sort out my bench a little bit or make a bit of money there. Not 100% sure.
You know, looking at that, I can see it would actually allow me, instead of Malloy, I could go all the way up to Hotter.
Oh.
Or I could, instead of Carney, probably go up to someone like a Matty Gay.
Oh.
That's opening some doors. It's a little dangerous. You shouldn't have suggested
that. I like it. That's going to be unique. That's a very unique play for someone in the top 100 as well.
Yeah. I can't imagine that Wakefa's ownership is more than zero.
Only because I'm not there, Jono. Only because I'm not there. For the record, Lauren Wakefa is currently, according to stats by Jaden, in two teams in the top 1,000.
Wow.
Oh,
Specky.
What stars?
Currently, incredible. One more, because in my team as well.
Not top 1,000, my friend. Said by someone hanging on for dear life in the top 1,000.
Well, on that note, I'm out of here. Goodbye, everyone. I've just embarrassed myself. Probably for good.
Oh, sorry, Will. Ouch. You will be next week. It's okay. Your trade will show in there next week when you surpass me. But this is probably a good place to wrap it up. Thank you all for listening to Free Kick, the official AFLW fantasy podcast. Be sure to tune in later in the week as we do our spaces, Twitter spaces on air, and an article coming out later in the week. Let us know if you have any questions on Twitter, and we'll chat to you all later. Bye.
See everyone.
Bye.